The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Guys, welcome back to Talking Old School with Roger Franklin Williams, America's patriotic sports talk show, presented by Christner's Prime Steak and Lobster, and welcome to today's special presentation. We are at Porky's Original Barbecue in Apopka, and it's our annual Tribute to Veterans Day and our military, United States military veterans on Talking Old School. We have a tremendous, we are honored to have a wonderful group of United States combat veterans joining us on Talking Old School at Porky's. And before we all introduce them to you, I want to give a big shout out to our friend Shrin Yeager of Shrin Yeager State Farm Insurance, who's presenting our presenting sponsor for today's program. Like a good neighbor, Shrin Yeager is there. And I'll go ahead and introduce our United States combat veterans, and then we'll start to hear their stories. Pleased to be joined, sitting to my right, is Sergeant Lou Boria. Sergeant Boria is a combat veteran of World War II and the Korean conflict. He is a recipient of two Purple Hearts for his service in combat in the United States military in those wars. He's also a Gold Star dad. Sergeant Boria, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here.
Welcome. Righto. My pleasure.
We're also pleased to be joined by Specialist Jose Belin, who's a United States Army veteran, field artillery veteran, a combat veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom 1 and 2. He served two combat tours. Specialist Belin, thank you for being here.
Honored to be here. Thank you.
We're also pleased to be joined by Sergeant William Boyles, United States Marine Corps. Sergeant Boyle served three deployments, two in Iraq and one in Afghanistan in combat in the United States Marine Corps. Sergeant William Boyles, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
On our Talking Old School Tribute to Veterans Day. And now let's go to Sergeant, and of course, David Rubin is joining us as well, founder of Hero Strong. And David, a little bit later in our show. David, thank you for being here. It's always an honor to be with you, and I'm always amazed at the incredible work that you do to honor our veterans.
The greatest country in the world because of our heroes that are sitting right here with us and all the heroes and their families across our nation and around the world. So this is an honor to be here. Thank you.
And David's going to tell us about a wonderful event. Hero Strong is going to be sponsoring a little bit later in our show. But right now, let's go to... And, of course, Joe Ferraro is our on-site producer. Joe is a veteran of the United States Marine Corps. Joe, thank you for your service and sacrifice to protect my freedom.
You're welcome.
Let's start with Sergeant Lou Boria, combat veteran of World War II and the Korean conflict, Gold Star dad. He had two sons, Louis III and Gregory, who died due to wounds and injuries which they suffered in the Vietnam conflict. Sergeant Boria, just kind of tell us about the way that all started for you, in the United States Marine Corps.
Well, I went in when I was 16 years old. I lived in a pretty tough neighborhood in Brooklyn, and we had a lot of, gang fights and stuff anyway. But for me to go, I watching all the other guys being drafted and leaving. So anyway, I wanted to go. So I got my mom to go down to the recruiting. I thought that being that she didn't speak English too well that, I can get over. But she did. She told the guys I was only 16, so they sent me home. So anyway, I got back to the guys and I'm talking. So one of the guys said, why don't you go to the death ward? Just tell them that you're 18 years old and you're registered. So I did that. The next thing you know, I get a notice telling me that I'm, you know, to report for, you know, physical. Then I got a report that I was classified A1, and then I went down to be sworn in. So we're all lined up, and what they had representatives of all the military there, you know, Army, Navy, Marine, Air Force, all that. So anyway, this Swabby comes up, this Navy guy comes up, and he says, I need 10 guys. So he count up, and they point to me, you're in the Navy. I said, no, I ain't going to no Navy. He said, you go where we tell you, now get over there. I said, I'm not going into the Navy. So anyway, the next thing you know, they call the cops come over, and they come. I said, look, I just thought I don't want to go. I didn't say I didn't want to go into service. I said, I want, he said, well, what do you, I said, I want to go into Marines. So this corporal was walking by, says, he's mine. The next thing you know, I'm at Paris Island. So like I said, getting to Paris Island, and they're getting off the bus, and guy calling roll call. And then, like I said, every guy that was drafted, his serial number started with a 90. So when he saw that, he came over to me, and he flipping out, you know, about me being in his Marine Corps and using the explicits here and there, you know.
Colorful language.
So anyway, I mean, that guy really laid into me. And I had to stand there and look at him, and I'm looking around. I said, I can't be no more volunteer than anybody here. I mean, you know, so, but I can't say anything. So all 12 weeks of boot camp, it was pounding on me. And like I said, he wasn't physical, just the verbal stuff like that, you know.
Just verbal and emotional. And emotional and mental.
And then this is 1943. And with my complexion, you're up there with all these white boys, and I'm telling you, but I got to tell you, it was absolutely different. It seemed like I was living in a different world. These guys would come over and hug you. I mean, they were there every minute. Every time the DI got on me for something or other, not even this afternoon, something these guys got, no, they don't know what the hell they're, you know, cheering me up.
Supporting you.
Yeah. And like I said, when we had the graduation, and like I said, you know, everybody thought that they used to call me chief, but they said I remember I thought I'm more Indian, you know, American Indian. If I was American, I got to tell you this one. We have a inspection. I think it was like 8 week on it. You know, they start with a PFC and they go up. So I finally got the, we got this captain's inspecting us. So you know, the drill instructor gives you the routine of, you know, if you mess up, forget it. You know, but anyway, we get up and I'm the third guy in the rank. I come up with my rifle. He grabs my rifle. He checks it up. All of a sudden, he looks up and he looks at me. He says, "Where are you from, boy?" I said, "I'm from New York, Brooklyn." No. Why not, sir? Where are you? Yeah. I said, "Well, I'm Puerto Rican." He goes, "What?" I said, "Puerto Rican." So he looks at the drill. He says, "What kind of disease is that?" So anyway.
Real world stories. From the Marine Corps, 1943, boot camp.
And like I said, it was 1943. Yeah. So anyway, I graduated. Like I said, the drill instructor came to the barracks.
And that's the guy that had been so right hard on you the whole time.
Right after we had the parade. And after the parade, you're all packed, and you're going to get 10-day leave. I can go continue? Yeah. Well, anyway, all of a sudden I hear, "Warrior!" Get your buns out of here. It's like everybody stands at attention, and I run outside. I stand there, and he says, "Stand at ease." He says, "You're going to be a good Marine, but you better learn how to control your temper." And he shook my hands, and he said, "Get the hell out of here." So I run back into barracks, and all the guys are just waiting because I got tears in my eyes from the excitement that this guy told me and shook my hand. I was flabbergasted. So anyway, all the guys, when I told them what happened, they all were hugging. It was great. It was a great feeling.
What a start to your Marine Corps career. Sergeant Lou Boria, thank you for sharing it with us on Talking Old School. And guys, what a story. You know, at 16, he went to extraordinary measures to get into the service, specifically the Marine Corps. gets to Pierce Island, you know, because of his serial number, designated him as a draftee. You know, his hardcore drill instructor got on the wrong side of him immediately, but then after his boot camp had you know, been completed, the hardcore drill instructor walks up and shakes his hand. What an amazing story. Thank you for sharing that with us, Sergeant Lou Boria.
How many years? 14 years in service? How many years of service?
14.
Now let's go to Specialist Jose Belen, who's, of course, a U.S. Army field artillery veteran. Specialist Belen served two combat tours, and those were in Operation Iraqi Freedom 1 and 2. First of all, Specialist Belen, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here today.
No, thank you. It's an honor to be here, and thank you, you know, brother, hermano, for sharing your story. You know, we're the generation that came, you know, up after you. So I am grateful to serve my country, in New York as well. I graduated high school in June 2001. I already knew that I wanted to serve my country. And then we all know what happened on 9/11, 2001. September 11th happened. I was born in Manhattan. And so I watched the second tower get hit live on television with my mother, and my recruiter called me. And, you know, he said, you know, get ready, we're going to fucking war. And so I was part of a unique generation, the 9/11 generation. Was in basic training in January 2002, graduated May 2002. I was with the 2nd Battalion, 3rd Field Artillery Regiment out in Germany, 1st Armored Division. And I deployed in the spring of 2003. Did two consecutive tours in Iraq. Lost my best friend in combat operations, who the mission at the time, we talk about the camaraderie we build in basic training and whatnot, losing a brother down range stays with you. I was fortunate enough to survive the combat tours, but the wounds of war come home with you. You know, so now I'm an advocate for PTSD awareness.
And we'd like to pick that up later in our program, yes, sure. Because Specialist Jose Belen has done tremendous work on behalf of other veterans, you know, suffering from PTSD. We want to hear more about that. You've been really done a phenomenal job educating the public and
Absolutely.
Citizens about what combat veterans experience and what they really will experience the rest of their lives
Absolutely.
As a result of protecting our freedom and our security.
Sure.
Now let's go to Sergeant William Boyles, United States Marine Corps. Sergeant Boyles served in three combat deployments, two in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. Sergeant Boyles, thank you for joining us. It's an honor to have you joining us today, and thank you for your service and sacrifice.
Thank you for having me.
And you just I'd love to have you share just anything you'd like to here in our first segment here.
So I joined the Marine Corps in 2005, which was a pretty funny story. I was actually working at Sam's Club. And this man and man rolls up, and at that time we're pulling carts with ropes, and I had about 75 carts. And next thing you know, this van stopped me and called me over, but they blacked out the entire inside.
The music, isn't it?
So as soon as I walked up, I saw two gentlemen, and I was like, and just said, "Look, I'm doing work. Stop. Leave me alone." And next thing you know, the recruiter, he's like, found me in high school. And then that same day, I was in his office and joined. I was a troubled teen, and I didn't listen to my mother. I did what I want and everything to that nature. And I tell you what, the Marine Corps really changed anyone's lives. It changed my life. It let me learn and how to become a man. So, on top of that, having your brothers watch your six, that's very important. And the major thing that is important to me is to help get the word out about 22 a day. That's 22 veterans or military that kill themselves. And the only thing I could say is if you know someone in the military, because they're not going to tell you that they're struggling, call them. Ask them how they're doing. Take them out to lunch. But be there for them. Don't just turn your back on us, because we're not going to mention that we need help.
Thank you for sharing with us a powerful message. Let's go to David Rubin. David, we've got about 2.5 minutes before we go to our first break, and I'd just love to have you briefly share about your tremendous event and, of course, anything you'd like to share about Hero Strong as the founder of Hero Strong, of course. And before we go to David Rubin, I want to, of course, remind you that today's program is presented by Shryn Yeager State Farm Insurance. Like a good neighbor, Shryn Yeager is there. David Rubin, founder of Hero Strong.
Thank you so much, and this is a Veterans Day show with the Roger Flanken Show, Talking Old School, and we have our heroes on here with us. We're obviously our veterans, but every single day is Veterans Day for Hero Strong. Every single day is to be there for you all and your families, because as you all say, when you all go to war, you get boots on the ground, you come home, you still have it within your head and mentally, physically, emotionally. And that is why we are Hero Strong. A thank you is not enough to you and your families. And we are going to continue to be there. And as Hero Williams says, have your six. And that's what it's about. And it's for our law enforcement officers, our fire department, our educators, our medical professionals. And yes, Old Glory, as you heroes call it. So we just want you all to know that everything we do is in your honor, you and your family. So it is an honor to be out here. It's an honor for what you're doing. I want to thank you, Roger, for giving our heroes a voice, as they say, because having these conversations, they matter. Understanding and learning and listening to our heroes, and as they share these stories, we get to see what real leadership is, what service is all about, selfless service is all about, and being there for each other. I mean, Hero William was saying how it made him who he is today, and Hero Jose was saying how it's the brothers and sisters left and right. So we love you, and we got your six.
Great point, David. And as we head into break, I just make one point, too. It's amazing to hear the stories that we are hearing and that we're very pleased to be able to share with you, thanks to our sponsors, about the real world experiences that our combat veterans experience in
real
combat.
Heroes, real everyday heroes, and obviously we'll never forget our fallen
and
heroes.
These are things that nobody would ever know unless they served in harm's way in combat, and we really appreciate you sharing them with us. Well, friends, we're going to go to that first break on Talking Old School, America's patriotic sports talk show, and our tribute to Veterans Day. We'll be right back with our military combat veterans on Talking Old School, so please stay with us.
American soldier and American, beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. Over hill, over dale, we will hit the dusty trail.
Guys, welcome back to Talkin' Old School, and welcome back to our annual Talkin' Old School tribute to Veterans Day, presented by Shryn Yeager State Farm. It's the annual program where we honor and pay tribute to those who are serving in our United States military. We have a great show for you. We're coming to you from Porky's Original Barbecue in Apopka today, and we are pleased to be joined by a great group of United States military combat veterans, and we're just listening to them tell their stories. Before we go back to our veterans, I want to, of course, let you know that give a big shout out to our friends over at Miller's Sod Sales. Miller's Sod Sales takes great pride in the work that they do and into their commitment to each and every customer. You can find out more about Miller Sod Sales at johnmillertruckingandsodsales.com. That's johnmillertruckingandsodsales.com. Miller Sod Sales honors all who served and all who have served in our United States military. Once again, reset the stage for you with our wonderful guest. To my right is Sergeant Lou Boria. Sergeant Lou Boria signed up, entered the United States Marine Corps at 16 years old in Brooklyn, New York. He served in combat in World War II. He served in combat in the Korean conflict. He's also a Gold Star dad. He lost two sons as a result of the wounds and injuries they suffered in the Vietnam conflict, Louis III and Gregory. Also joining us is Specialist Jose Belen, who served two combat tours as a member of the United States Army Field Artillery. He served in Operation Iraqi Freedom 1 and 2. We were pleased to be joined by Sergeant William Boyles, who was a United States military veteran who served three deployments, two in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. Sergeant Boyles has had to leave us, but we really enjoyed hearing the comments that he made to our program. And, of course, we're pleased to be joined by our friend David Rubin, founder of Heroes Strong, who, as you, I'm sure that you know, does extraordinary work honoring our veterans, not just on Veterans Day, but literally 365 days a year. David, it's an honor to have you joining us today.
Thank you all so much.
Let's go back to and of course, we want to acknowledge our producer, Joe Ferraro, United States combat veteran.
No, not at all. I was in 76.
I meant to say United States Marine Corps veteran.
Yeah, I didn't see combat, though I was trained and prepared to go.
You were ready to be there.
And guess what? Still am.
Our heroes are always ready.
And before we go to our panel, that's one thing I do want to mention about all military veterans, is because once you enter that service, once you wear that uniform, you never know what assignment you're going to get.
That's a fact.
And let's go back to Sergeant Lou Boria. And Sergeant Boria, what else would you like to share with us? You told us the very interesting story of how you came to be a Marine, some great insights into your boot camp experience, earning the respect of possibly one of the toughest Marine Corps drill instructors on Paris Island. At your graduation day, what else would you like to share with us?
Well, like I said, from the time that I went in the Marine Corps, like I said, it was November 43, and I was on board ship heading overseas at the South Pacific in May of 44. And so that we went to Hawaii. They trained in one of the islands up in Hilo. The name of the camp was Tarawa. And we trained there like I said, we got on board ship and spent 53 consecutive days on a troop ship. I mean, you want a horror. That's one of the worst, is to be in a place like that out in the middle of the ocean, not making any... The only thing, every now and then we get up on deck, you're looking around, and then you might be, we'll see one or two ships. Get up the next day, you get out, you look out, and there's about 50 ships around you, you know, different convoys, and working our way out to the South Pacific. We were headed for the invasion of Leyte in the Philippines. And I don't want to get into any of this combat stories, and, you know, everybody hears so many of them. But anyway, the preparation is the part that is so hard. Like I said, being the 53 days on board a troop ship like that, then comes the time for you're going to go ashore. They bring these small boats along the ship. They drop their nets over, and it's like maybe like a three-story strap. Now, when you go over the side of that ship, right now you're trying to hold on to that lead. You got your pack, your helmet, and rifle. Most likely about three bandoliers of ammunition. So you come crawling, trying to get down, and, you know, with that extra weight, and then, you know, on the net, the boat, it's just bobbing. I mean, it might come up about 3 feet drop, and so you're left dangling. If you get pinned by that, you know you're going to lose your legs. So anyway, the staff, the sergeants, we went over first. Then you drop your pack and just hold on to the net so that these guys could have to, you know, just come down. But once the boat drops, you're left dangling. So I'm holding on to the net. I'm just dangling there, just kicking my foot so that if and when the boat hits, it doesn't pin my feet in there. So that you're trying to get... There was a time I said there was two guys just froze on the net. These guys, they're going to move. So I had to climb up, take this guy's rifle and you know, talk him into coming down. And like I said, it was a horror trying to get him. You know, 'cause, I mean, I knew what it was doing, but this guy was so upset that, you know, he's trying to tell him, no, kick your feet, kick the net out of the way, so that when the boat, this guy, he must have dropped about 2 foot with the... It was like a bundle. But anyway, now you get on the, and now you're in a rendezvous. The reason for the rendezvous is if they're having trouble ashore, they're not going to send the troops in. So you get into this rendezvous until they get it clear from the beach. But now to get in this rendezvous, you're right behind the, there's five boats or six boats, and they're flat. They don't have a keel. So as they hit, the spray of water over the top, so by the time you make one or two trips, you're soaking wet. The next thing you know, seasick. I mean, you talk about guys getting sick and puking. That floor on that boat, it was like you're waddling puke. I mean, guys
slipping,
laying on the ground, they give up. That is okay. But, you know, the thing is that the spray of the water, but the fumes, diesel fumes, I mean, it's horrible. You just can't get away from it. So anyway, they stuck around now. They go, say, okay, the signal, you're going ashore. A lot of the boats are sailing through. Now you got to hit the beach. Where's the troops? These guys are all out on the floor. I mean, full of puke. Oh, man. But anyway, those of us that survived that, try to get these guys up. And I mean, they don't shoot me. they were just so upset. That boat hits the beach, and we go crying. And I mean, I must have got two steps. And they said, nothing but women and children. You got to see these Filipinos. Filipino guerrillas had wiped out all the chaps in that area. And all we had was women. I mean, these women, Americano, Americano. And they hugging and kissing you, shoving booze. And the kids are dragging, pulling. And the guys hollering, get off the beach. Get off. The, I can't care. With all the packing, and plus the woman and two kids on my back, I got to try to. What a, it was like, it was a what a thrill. What a thrill to you know, to see what was happening. You know what I mean? All you went through. And these people, you know, the Filipinos were American citizens up till the time the Japs took them over. And then, I don't know, if I got time, I got a little story that goes with that.
Go ahead. Absolutely.
All right.
We're hearing a great insight from United States World War II combat veteran Lou Boria, real-world insights.
Years later, quite a few years later, I'm in Florida visiting my sister-in-law and with the wife and that. And so it was our 4th of July, and it was really hot. They were having, you know, hamburgers in the patio. And they got a big swimming pool, but it was so hot. So I said to my wife, I said, come on, I'm going inside. It's too hot. So I get inside, and there's an elderly couple sitting there. We got into conversation, and then they said, you know, we heard that you was in the Marines. I said, yeah. I said, what did you serve? I said, well, I was in the Philippines, the World War II. The lady looks at me, you was in the Philippines? I said, they were missionaries. And she was 12 years old when the Japs took over the Philippines, and the parents, they were in prison from the time that, you know, they were taking prisoners until we liberated them. And she was jumping up and down. She's dangling, kissing me, hugging me. And she said, I've been wanting to thank somebody for liberating us, and you happen to be all these years. She said, you were in the invasion. You know, it was like unbelievable.
I'm going to step in a minute on that one.
Yeah.
And
this is Sergeant Boria's wife, Alice. Yeah. Alice, thank you for being here.
His wife, Julie, has a sister named Sarah, and Sarah has a daughter named Alba. Well, Alba grew up, and this missionary's daughter that was in the prisoner of war camp grew up and got married and had kids. And his sister-in-law, Sarah's daughter, ended up marrying the son of the girl they liberated in the Philippines. Isn't that a weird coincidence?
Amazing.
Into something?
Thank you for sharing. What a wonderful story. And guys, as I was just, Joe, I'd love to have you elaborate on this briefly if you'd like to. As I was listening to Sergeant Boria's story, you know, it really hit me about the role that America plays.
Oh, absolutely. America plays a major role on the planet Earth.
Well, worldwide from a positive perspective.
You know, sure. We bring freedom. We bring light to the world.
Land of the free, because of our heroes.
And somebody has to do the heavy lifting, and these are the guys that do it. Somebody's got to put their lives on the line. These are the guys that
freedom
that
is not
signed
free
up to do
exactly
it.
Exactly.
Have you got much time?
We're going to take a break in just a second. We'll
okay,
pick it up.
No, I got to tell you a little backup story with that.
I can't wait to hear it. First, before we get a break, I want to once again remind everybody that you're listening to the Talking Old School annual tribute to Veterans Day presented by Shrin Yeager Insurance, State Farm Insurance. Like a good neighbor, Shrin Yeager is there. Let's go back to David Rubin. We just got a couple of minutes before break, and I'd like to have you share about your event.
Yeah, so you're hearing these hero stories, and obviously they're not doing it for the recognition that we give all of our heroes. They're doing it because they love our country. They love serving everybody, and that's why we call them our heroes, because they're the real leaders of our world. Talk about selflessness. So November 13th, we are rolling out not the red carpet. We are rolling out the gold Hero Strong carpet to say our thank you to our everyday heroes. And that's going to be at Ryder Park in Longwood, Florida, at 3 o'clock. We're going to have our Cub Scouts out there, Girl Scouts out there, our military. We're going to have a lot of our heroes out there. If you're watching this right now, it is an open invite to anyone and everyone. We're going to have pizzas that's donated to us. Boar's Head hot dog stand is going to be out there. Obviously, we're going to have peanut butter and jelly. If you all don't know about peanut butter and jelly, that's our hashtag PB&J. Because as our heroes always know, they lost a lot of our heroes, their brothers and sisters in arms. So we use hashtag PB&J to always remember our fallen heroes. And that stands for purpose, balance, and joy. And I want to ask our hero sergeant a question if we can do our next segment. But I just want we need to continue to have these conversations because what they share with us. Okay, you might be 5 minutes late for a meeting. You might a red light. You might have a little bit of traffic. But think about what these real heroes go through on a day-to-day basis. And let's continue to live like our heroes. Be like a hero today.
One point about that, David, is as we go into our break, is that's what I was thinking when Sergeant Boria was talking about just the experience of being on a troop ship.
53 days and just living in probably the worst conditions ever.
The experience of coming down the ropes. In the movies, it looks like those guys are just climbing down just like they're having recreation or something. I mean, those guys are risking their life when they come down those ropes. As he said, listen, risking getting their legs cut off if the boat pops up at the wrong time. Once you get into the boat, guys vomiting all over the place. I mean, that's the real world. I mean, we think of the big risk of being in combat. They go through a living hell before they even get into combat. But anyway, it's great to be able to have these guys share that real world experience.
Because we don't know. We don't hear it every day, and they're not going to go out there talking about it. And that's why thank you to Roger for giving this platform for our heroes to share some of these heroic stories.
And you only see a lot of that in the movies, and it's all cleaned up.
Absolutely. I've never seen it. Until Saving Private Ryan came out, I never saw a drop of blood in a war movie.
Amazing. It's we love you all very, very much.
Well, guys, we're going to take a quick break. I do want to let you know that our Veterans Day Tribute to Veterans Day program, of course, is supported by our friends at Florida Door Solutions. Florida Door Solutions honors all who serve and all who have served this Veterans Day. We'll be right back on Talking Old School. Please stay with us.
Well, if you ask me where I come from, here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear.
Anchors away, my boys. Anchors away.
Guys, welcome back to Talking Old School. Welcome back to our annual tribute to Veterans Day, the day where we honor all those who serve in the uniform of the United States military, both current active duty and those who have served on Talking Old School. Of course, Talking Old School is America's patriotic sports talk show. Before we go back to our distinguished group of United States military combat veterans and our producer, Joe Ferraro, who's a United States Marine Corps veteran, I want to let you know that the guys up at Apopka Moore and Equipment Repair have everything that you'll need for hurricane cleanup and preparation for the next hurricane. And you can find out more about them at apopkamoore.com. Apopka Moore and Equipment Repair. It's where they sell the best and they fix the rest. And also, of course, want to give a shout out to our friend Dr. Patrick St. Germain and the great people at St. Germain Chiropractic and Burn Fat Orlando. Dr. Patrick St. Germain supports Today's program tribute to Veterans Day and supports all the programs you hear 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year on the new AM 950 and FM 94.9. The Answer and our messages of patriotism and support for our free enterprise system. Once again, we'll reset our guest on the program today. Producing our show on site at Porky's is Joe Ferraro, veteran of the United States Marine Corps. To my right is Sergeant Lou Boria, United States Marine Corps combat veteran. He served in combat in two wars, in World War II and in the Korean conflict. Sergeant Boria is also a Gold Star dad. His sons, Louis III and Gregory, both succumbed to wounds suffered in Vietnam. We're also pleased to be joined by Specialist Jose Belen, who served two tours of combat duty with the United States Army Field Artillery. He was served in combat duty in both Operation Iraqi Freedom 1 and Operation Iraqi Freedom 2. And we're also pleased to be joined by Sergeant Boria's wife, Alice. And let's go, and of course, David Rubin is joining us, founder of Hero Strong. Let's go, first of all, you know, Sergeant Boria, you had another story you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, when it came, I was in the South Pacific, and, you know, some of the islands were island hopping, and MacArthur was, you know, with the Army guys. And when it came time to go to the Philippines, well, MacArthur tells Nimitz. Nimitz was the admiral in charge of all the operations in the Pacific. And he told Nimitz he wanted to be an all-Army show, the invasion of the Philippines. So Nimitz told him, he said, no, you're not. He says, you got this far on the backs of the Marines, you're going to take Marines. Yeah. So the thing comes that we get aboard ship, and we're about maybe a couple of days out. All of a sudden, they call us up on deck. He says that they got the word that, you know, the dungarees, we have a pocket which says USMC. He says, MacArthur has us cut that off. Cut the pocket off. He didn't want anybody to know there was Marines went ashore there. Could you imagine this? A general, four-star general, and to have to... So anyway, once we got ashore, one of our officers, I don't know where, he found a 4x8 plywood, and he put a sign on the roadway where we were. He said, with the grace of God and a few Marines, MacArthur returns to the Philippines.
I love it.
MacArthur wanted court-martialing. And the Stars and Stripes got the story. And they started checking out. And they warned MacArthur, we're gonna get after you. So would you believe 2 years ago, my wife and I went to Quantico. And they have a museum there. And this sign is down the wall. I flipped. I mean, the tears running down my eyes. I looked at that. And then they had changed one word. Instead of putting down "and a few Marines," they put "and the Marines." But it was right up there. And what a thrill that was to see something like that, you know.
Thank you, Sergeant Lou Boria, for an incredible behind-the-scenes story from World War II.
That's a bit
the
of history.
War in the Pacific.
It's a bit of history you're not going to get in high school.
No.
Or anywhere else except on Talking Old School, America's patriotic sports talk show.
I remember.
And before we wrap things up, I wanted to go back to Specialist Jose Belen,
because
he does some tremendous work specifically with PTSD and veterans. And first of all, Specialist, could you share just about your mission and the heart that you have and why?
Well, sure. The mission is to zero out veteran suicide. Folks don't realize is that the warrior may leave the battlefield with his life, but the battlefield never leaves the warrior. War is a unique place where you see so many horrible things, but you at the same time can see so many beautiful things, and that's in the camaraderie and then doing work together. And the loss of a brother in combat or if you've carried innocents, children dying and experienced that, and you come home with that, the warriors are quiet. We don't do it for the glory. The movies... You know, we understand it, but at the end of the day, we do it for the right reasons. And the nightmares are constant. The triggers are there. And we have to learn to live with visions, you know, the sounds, and sometimes those sounds are too much for us. And every 65 to 72 minutes, it's estimated that we lose a veteran by their own hand. I myself nearly took my life. You know, I spoke briefly on the passing of you know, my best friend in combat. You know, and you know, he had a daughter that he wanted to come home to. And you know, my mission was to clearly keep, you know, him and all my brothers alive that I could, but beyond that, to make sure he made it home to raise his daughter, and that didn't happen for him. And so I'm incredibly close to his parents, his family. I carry him and all my fallen, and all their families. The Gold Star families are out here in America, you know, and they're just like us, quiet. And, you know, we can do so much for one another, but the fight to keep us alive begins here within our own ranks, getting comfortable with speaking. What we went through, our own suffering, you know, wasn't for anything. We're strong enough to overcome it, and we can help someone see that they're just as strong as well before it's too late. And so I'm on a mission to, you know, help end veterans, you know, find one another again. Because the same way we can have our backs downrange in the middle of battle, we can do that here at home. But it's not going to happen because, you know, the thank yous aren't enough. We need to go beyond the thank yous, and, you know, we have to take care of one another. And selfless service does not stop. Our values, you know, that we swore an oath to, have no expiration date. So that guides us today and guides me today to be there for my brother and my sister if they need me.
Specialist Jose Belin, and just let me say briefly, appreciate the work that you are doing to continue to stay in touch with your brothers, veterans, oh, yeah, who, combat veterans, and to help them with these incredibly difficult, incredibly challenging, in some cases horrible, things that they bring home in their mind and, right, and can never get rid of it. And it's all because they just want to serve and protect our freedom and our liberty.
Well, the thing is, when you're at the ledge of life and you're contemplating your life, you don't want to go, you know. And I was at a place, you know, as a veteran, you know, myself, that I know every day there's veterans there. If I could be where I am today, surrounded by supporting, you know, friends, family, and a community, they need to feel that too. And, you know, one veteran at a time, you know, we can make an impact. You know, I represent a lot of the families of the fallen on the battlefield, but I represent a lot of the families of those who we lose here at home. And those pieces are not able to be put back together. So we just got to keep fighting together. Yeah.
Specialist Jose Belin. And one more thing I'd like to just address with that, and we're down to about our last 4 minutes, is, you know, one thing that I've learned from talking to veterans, just like you guys, combat veterans, is your combat changes you forever. In that, and part of that is the experience, the horrible experiences you see and you have to endure and deal with, which include losing your friends and your comrade, your brothers, but also that the kind of camaraderie and relationships that you, yeah, build with your brothers, sure, is different than any kind of relationship you'll have with any non-combat person, including your family. Can you address that and the challenges of that?
Well, it's just, you go through something together. War is another universe. There's no parallel like it. If you've been there, you understand it. You don't have to talk about it. You just look at each other, and there's no way to be able to articulate what the moment of battle is, the hunting of men, and then to know that that person next to you, you know, is critical just as much as you are, and there's just a bond there that, you know, our commanding general, before we went into to Iraq, let us know. He said, you know, look to your front, look to your rear, look to your left, look to, you know, look at each other. And look at each other in the eyes, because we're not all going to come home. Some of you will die. And you got to think, I was stationed in Germany, you know, we trained together, you get ready for battle, you know, you have beers with these brothers, you go through that, say, you can't die. There's no way that that's going to happen for him. And if it has to be me first, so it will be. And so
The point that he's making out is also the Marine Corps and Army, anybody who's in combat, okay, is after the firefight to go around and get the wounded and the dead.
Yeah.
And the guys, like he said, guys that you just had a few beers with, the guy's gone. And you see that guy, and you're pulling him, and you see the crap that he's in, and it's so insane. It's just, you know, and like I said, it's that love that you
and
get with each other, and to see a guy smashed up like that, and then you got to drag him out, blood him up on the road, wrap him up in a poncho, and then they expect you to function. Yeah. I mean, it's
so that's why the, you know, the color red on the flag, you know, for me, I carried some of my own friends, you know, with my hands, their blood, I saw it. So the flag here, the colors on this flag, to me, I always see, you know, the blood of patriots, good people. And the thing about it is, we all know the cost. We're all willing to pay it. But they're just not here to say it. So we are.
All of you, thank you for your service and your sacrifice to protect my freedom and my security and our freedom and our security. Friends, guys, thank you for joining us on the annual tribute to Veterans Day on Talking Old School. And thank you, Sergeant Lou Boria, Alice Boria.
Don't forget me walking.
Specialist Jose Belen, Sergeant William Boyles, David Rubin, founder of Hero Strong, Joe Ferraro, United States Military Combat Veteran. Guys, have a great night.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.